All right, well, we're so glad you're here this morning. Are you glad you're here? If you're glad you're here in church this morning, why don't you say amen? Amen. All right. God is good. There's something special about catching up with people that you love, part of your church family that you haven't seen all week, right? Just touching base with them. And we get some time to hang out more together today after church. We're going to eat together. Are you ready for that? Yeah, it's going to be good. So this week was a good weekend for us. Want to thank you guys for praying for the pastoral staff and the elders as we went away this weekend. A good time in a cabin up in Waterville. And just spent the about 24 hours just really seeking the Lord's face and praying for wisdom and his direction for us as a church. And we're excited. We're excited about what God's doing in our midst. And we're excited about what he has for us in store as a church and what he's going to do through us. And I hope that you're excited too. I hope that you are just ready and charged up and praying, because you need to be praying too. You know, God wants to do a lot of kingdom work through us, and so we're excited. And so the girls are away this weekend. I was sitting over here singing. It was like a men's choir. All the guys right here. It sounded awesome. It was cool. And my wife was away this weekend since we went away. The guys went away, and Kylie was on the girls' retreat, and so she went back home. To our niece had her fourth birthday celebration, so she went home. So it was eerily quiet in my house this morning. Like, I'm walking around, and normally we're, you know, getting the kids ready and all that stuff going on, but it was quiet, so it was good. So we're glad you're here. Welcome. If you're a guest with us this morning, we especially welcome you. Really glad you're here to join us. So we're going to jump into the Word this morning. If you have your Bibles, please open to Mark chapter 1. We're going to finish our series this morning that we've been going through as we work our way through the book of Mark. We're going to finish our series that's been titled Called to a Mission. And I have an object lesson this morning that I want to share with you. Just a little thing. I like object lessons. I like to learn with pictures and visual objects. I don't know if you guys do or not, but I know that it helps me. So we're going to pretend here for a moment that I'm inviting you over to my house for a meal. So someday, Lord willing, maybe we'll get to do that. But so if just for a second, I'm inviting you all over to my house. What do you guys like to eat? Steak, lobster. Wow, you guys aren't cheap. All right. Yeah, a salad sandwich. All right. So, you know, of course, if I invite you guys over to my house, you know, we're gonna put out some nice tableware, some nice plates and things like that for you. So I brought some this morning. Okay. So I brought this so that as I stand it up, you can actually see it. So I'm gonna put that there. And so I brought the best that I have for you guys this morning. Brought this. So glad you guys come over this morning. So I'm going to share this with you this morning. Why are you laughing? What's so funny? It's not what? Oh, it's not steak, no. Some of my wife's lasagna. You're not making fun of my wife's lasagna, right? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, well, actually, that's not lasagna. We didn't even eat those. I just threw those on there, you know, just to. But if I invited you over to my house, and I brought the food out, and I just put this plate in front of you, would you be a little surprised? All right? Why? It's not clean. Yeah, some of you are looking at me like, what's wrong with this guy? It's not clean. It would be, in a sense, unacceptable. How many times have you gone to you pull out the drawer for the silverware, and you know, the dishwasher didn't clean it really good, and it's got that thing on the bottom of the spoon, and you put it in your mouth, and you're like, oh, I hate that. You know, your kid's like, oh, it's not clean. Get me a clean, you know. Okay, so it would be unacceptable. Do you guys wash your clothes? Some of you didn't say anything. Of course we wash our clothes, right? I mean, some of our kids don't. Sometimes we tell them, man, you stink. You need to go, like, we got to take those clothes off. But you wash your clothes because you want to wear clean clothes, you know? When things are clean, I mean, in a sense, they're in their best state, right? You know, when I wash my car, it's probably in its best state. I like to drive it around when it's clean as opposed to when it's dirty. When your kids are smelly, you wash them, right? You don't leave them dirty. You know, so when something's clean, we're going to work with this idea here for a minute this morning, where we're going to go. When something's clean, it's in its best state, so to speak. And so this scripture this morning is important because God wants to speak to us about this idea of what it means to be clean and what it means to be unclean. And why does God think that that's so important? And why should that really be important to us this morning as his people. And so we're going to dig into that, into the scripture this morning. And it's going to drive us to this idea of having a heart of compassion like Jesus Christ. And the mission that he has called us to, the reason why we're here today, and part of what God has for us is to really evaluate and to say, do I have a heart of compassion for people like God does? Okay, we're going to see what the connection is. So open your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 40 through 45. And this is what the scripture says. It says, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Let's pray. God, we just ask now that in this time that you would bring glory to yourself. God, that you would open up the eyes of our heart as we already sang, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Lord, we sang that we want to see your holiness. God, that's a scary thing. But Lord, we need to see your holiness. We need to understand your holiness. God, your holiness needs to reach down into the depths of our hearts and where we live. We need to come face to face with that. And so, Lord, this text brings us to that place. And God, I just simply pray that you would speak through your servant this morning. I am a weak vessel. And this message is for me as much as it is for anybody else in this room. And so, God, we know that your presence is here. We know that you are alive, that you are on your throne. But, Lord, we want you to be the Lord of our hearts. Lord, we don't just want to sing it, but we want it to be true of us. And so, Lord, there are often things in our lives that still need to be rooted out and weeded out. And so, God, we pray that if you need to do that this morning, that you would do that. Lord, we welcome you this morning to speak to us. You are God Almighty. We thank you for that. We see that in this passage. We pray that you would do your work. In Jesus' most precious and powerful name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right. So as we look at this story, you know, not about you, but I know, like, as a kid, like, if I might read this story, this would be one of those stories that I would quickly glance over, right? You read this story to think, well, okay, I kind of get it. You know, it's just another person who's sick, who has a disease, who's coming to Jesus, and Jesus has compassion because that's what God does. You know, he heals people, so I get it. Turn a page, all right? But what we want to do is we want to stop, and we want to slow down, and we want to discover the power that's in this text, because there is a lot of power for us, and there's a lot of truth for us to uncover. And it comes from the words that are in this text, and it comes from the historical context that's in this text. And my prayer is this morning, as we share some of these things, that your heart will really be challenged by what we have. So the first thing that we want to pay attention to this morning is this word clean, because we find this in this text. The man with leprosy comes to Jesus, and he says this. He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you're willing, you can make me clean. And the Bible says this, that Jesus, our God, was filled with something called compassion. He was filled with compassion. And what did he do? He touched the man. He touched this man with leprosy, and he said, I am willing. I am willing. Be clean. Why was it so important to this man that he be clean? Well, so we stop here, and let's stop and let's think about God for a minute. Now, this is not new, but this is something that we need to really, on a daily basis, be reminded of and think about. So God has revealed himself to us, hasn't he? So that we can know him. And as he has revealed himself to us in the Word, he's revealed to us what his nature is like. You know, if we ever stop and we think, gee, I wonder what God's like. One of the things that the Bible tells us is it says that God is holy. God is holy. We need to never remember, and we need to never forget that. That God is holy. Holy is a special word because it means this. It means set apart. It means apartness, separateness, or sacredness. God is altogether different than you and I. Because in him there is no sin. There is no imperfection. There is no evil in him, in his nature. The scripture says that God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. He is completely pure and he is completely good. Let that just be a reminder to us this morning as we go into this text. Isaiah 43 verse 15 says this, says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's creator, your King. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 16 says this, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. We read in places in the Bible where it says that the angels, what do? But they cry out to God in heaven and they sing about him and they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah 6:3. Because God is holy and without sin, if any of us are ever going to have a relationship with him, if we're going to experience the joy of walking with God and knowing him, we need to be what God described as clean. We need to be clean. Psalm 24, verse 3 and 4. Kirk read it this morning. Let's look at it again. This is what the scripture says. It asks a question. In other words, who can approach God? How can I have a relationship with the God who loves me? Scripture says this, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who can stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and has a pure heart, who does not lift his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. So let's go back in time. Think about the beginning of the world. And when with the entrance of sin into the world through Adam and Eve, what was once clean was no longer clean. In the Old Testament, we pick it up and you read it. It's interesting because we learn and we see that there were very specific and elaborate systems that God had put into place that were designed to be a picture for us. Okay? A picture for us in the Old Testament of the moral state of us as people and in our relationship to God. But it was also there to show us what are the provisions, what are the ways, what are the things that God has done because he is so amazing, because of his passionate pursuit of you and his jealousy for you as his creation. What is it that he has done so that we could still come to him? And so what we're going to do is first we're just going to go back and take a look at some of these things in the Old Testament. And we have to start here because what it does is it propels us as a picture to Jesus Christ. It propels us a picture to the gospel that we so dearly love, and it draws us to worship God. Hopefully it's what drew you here this morning. So God had laid out before the giving of the law and through the giving of the law in the Old Testament these like physical and ceremonial things that he wanted people to do and to pay attention to in their relationship with him, because as we said, it was a picture. God likes object lessons. You know, he's very good at this. So for example, before the law was given in the Old Testament, you can pick up the book of Genesis and you can read it. You can see, for example, we see a distinction between, God says, clean and unclean animals that Noah wanted to bring onto the ark, okay? And so you have clean and you have unclean animals, and a lot of these clean animals were for the purpose of sacrifice so that they could worship God, because he was teaching people this system, what was important about who he was. We can read that God tells us about Jacob. And one time God told Jacob to go to Bethel and to build an altar there. And so God said, what you need to do, Jacob, is you need to destroy all the idols that are there. And you need to demand that the house is purified and that you change all the clothing is changed. And so God is laying out, it's just in these two examples, and there are others in the Old Testament, but he's laying out that he required like a ritual purity and it was necessary in order for man to come to God. In the book of Leviticus, and Our text kind of directs us there a little bit this morning, but God was structuring what he called the ceremonial law and also the moral law. And so he was laying out that he wanted people to follow these rules of ceremony in order to be what he considered to be clean before God. And they were to follow God's law so that they could be morally clean before him. And so remember, the whole idea here is that God is trying to teach his people that he is altogether different, that he is holy, and in order to have a relationship with him. And that's what this is all about. In the Old Testament, uncleanness is virtually synonymous with sin. Look at this verse in Leviticus 16. I think we have it for the screen here. Leviticus 16:16 says this, speaking of the high priest, it says, in this way he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanness and rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. And now in other places in the Old Testament, we see that cleanness represents innocence before God. David said this in Psalm 51, verse 7. He said, David, in his famous Psalm of Repentance, he writes this, "Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean, and I will be whiter than snow." So in the Old Testament, we start to see there were these things that would cause uncleanness, these according to the Mosaic law. Now, they might seem a little bit tedious to us, and I want to just touch on a few of them, but they're really important because they're important to understanding the power of the text for where we are today. It's like when you pick up the Old Testament and you see some of these things. So there were certain foods that were not to be eaten. God had said there were clean and there were unclean animals. Animals that died of an old age, disease, or injury, you know, or maybe ones that had been wounded by a predator were unclean. In terms of the animals that were clean and unclean, animals that did not both chew the cud and have a cloven hoof were unclean. So animals such as like pigs and camels and badgers and rabbits. Animals that were clean, that were cattle and deer and goats and sheep. And there were specifications with fish and birds and winged insects and crawling things. God had said things about disease. He said, especially leprosy, like we're looking at this text this morning, that if a person had leprosy, they were unclean before God. And Leviticus 13 and 14 covers a whole ground of like dermatology and all these things that would relate to this that God had to say. Any fluid that was ever discharged from the body would make a person unclean. Touching a dead body would make a person unclean. Idolatry was another thing that would cause a person to be spiritually unclean before God and cause defilement. The Gentiles were considered unclean because they worshipped false gods. And so, then there's other things that we see in the Bible. You open it up, like things about objects. You know, unclean pottery, God said, had to be broken. You know, if there was an uncovered pot in the house of a person who died, then that pot was unclean. Anyone who entered a house of a person who had died was considered unclean. Any treasures that were taken in war, you know, had to be cleansed by fire or by water. Any clothing that might have come in contact with a leper had to be tested because it could be considered unclean. So God lays out these things about objects. And then there's places in the Old Testament, places could also become defiled, God said. God considered the people in the land of Israel holy. And if they became unclean because they were committing adultery because of their sin, God said, "You are unclean." The temple could become unclean. We read in the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 29 that Hezekiah had to cleanse the temple after Ahaz's idolatrous worship. The point is this, that God had to teach his people that he was holy. Are you with me on this? God had to remind his people, he had to teach his people, "I am holy. I am not like you. I am perfect. There is no sin within me." And so in order for us as man to be able to approach God, to have a relationship with him, people needed to be clean and right with God. You know, there had to be a prescribed way. It's like in our house, if you want to come to the dinner table, you got to go wash your hands, you know. If you want to drive a car, right, you have to have a driver's license. There's these prescribed ways. And God said, there is a prescribed way that is necessary for coming to me. So then the question then is how did God cleanse people from their uncleanness so that they could have a relationship with him? Going back to strictly in the Old Testament, we see that there were different things that God did. Again, remember, this is a picture. It's a picture of everything that is fulfilled in Jesus Christ for us. Okay? So there was ceremonial cleansing. Sometimes God laid it out, it just took a period of time. It might have been 7 or 14, 40, 80 days for things that God might have considered a minor contamination. You know, Scripture talks about like childbirth. I don't know how much you could call that a minor contamination, but anyway, it's a beautiful thing. But that was something that would have, God said, made people unclean for a certain period of time. Other times it was just the washing of water for pertaining to body fluids. God had set up things that were part of ceremonial substances, like if a person had leprosy and that they were, you know, cleansed from that. Scripture talks about the ashes of a red heifer mixed with water and cedar wood, and it talks about a scarlet cloth and hyssop and blood, and it was the process that God had set up. We talked about cleansing by fire. But most importantly, for moral cleansing, God had set up that there needed to be a sacrifice. There needed to be an animal sacrifice. There needed to be an animal's blood that was shed. And it was a life given and death experienced. And whatever the disease was or the sin, it was in a sense transferred to that animal, therefore removing the uncleanness from the person. That was a system that God had set up. It was a sacrificial death. It was God's way of providing a picture of what was to come in Jesus Christ. A picture of substitutionary atonement. A picture of something stepping in to take the death and to take the penalty for sin. And this is important because it drives us right to where we are with Jesus Christ this morning. How are we made clean before a holy God? It's only when life is given and blood is shed and the penalty of sin is paid. And ultimately that was through Jesus Christ. And so we come to this text this morning, and let's look at it again in Mark chapter 1. This is the beauty of the gospel, because here we have the story of a leper. Jesus is willing to touch us when we are unclean. Jesus is willing to touch us when we are unclean. God has compassion on us when he sees us in our condition. And leprosy in the Bible is something that was real for a person, but it was also a picture of symbolic of sin in the Bible. And so Jesus, we've been talking about this mission that Jesus Christ was on, and we've been talking about this mission that God has called us on also to be a part of his kingdom work. And Jesus was on a mission to give his life as a sacrifice, to shed his blood so that we could come near to him. I just want to ask you this morning, what does that mean to you today as you are here? What does that mean to you today? That we reflect on the love that God has for you as you sit here this morning. To reflect on the fact that he went to the cross to rescue us from the penalty and the punishment of hell. An eternity separated from God. That Jesus came to show us the way to the Father. That he came to be that sacrifice for us. This is God's heart for you. This is God's heart of compassion. That all of my sin, the things within me, the heart that within me that can still rebel against God, whatever anger, whatever jealousy, whatever lust, whatever sin it is that we know that would cause us to spend eternity separated from God, that God has compassion on you. Amen. And so this man's life is a disaster. This leper. It's a picture of how our sinful hearts are separated from God. Because this man has leprosy, this is the picture. He is shunned from society. This man has to wear torn clothes. His hair has to be unkept. Whenever he goes out into public, he has to cover the bottom part of his mouth, and he has to shout, "Unclean! Unclean!" wherever he goes. Imagine if that was your existence. He must live outside of town where no one else lives. This disease not only robs him of his health, but it also robs him of his occupation. It robs him of his family. It robs him of fellowship with other people. It robs him of a worshiping community. People who had leprosy were treated basically as if they were a corpse. Lepers were required to stand at a distance of 50 paces away from another person. If this man stood under a tree, it was said that tree was to be considered polluted and no one could walk under it. If he entered a house, that house was now considered unclean. Leprosy was not curable by man, so people who had leprosy had to live in separate communities. And if by God's grace, whatever that form of leprosy was, if it had healed on its own, then they could be restored to their community and to their family and their jobs. But if it wasn't, then they would live separately with other lepers until the day that they died. And so this man who's coming to Jesus, understand, he is physically unclean. He is spiritually unclean. He recognizes the destitute position of his life. He is marginalized in society. It's a word we talk about a lot today. You hear it on the news. He was unaccepted by people, both religious and unreligious, and he's, in a sense, almost questioning God's love for him. This story here that we see in the leper, it points us to the beauty of the gospel. Because when my heart was so far away from God, and when I am declared unclean by God, Jesus is willing to come near to me to make me whole again. God comes with such undeserving compassion and love towards us. And I just want to remind us of that this morning. And then we talk about the holiness of God and how important that is. And sometimes I don't think we think about that enough. Sometimes we just go through life and we take the Christian life very casually. We take our faith very casually. And we can't really fully appreciate and have a heart of worship and love towards Jesus Christ and the gospel message if we lose sight of the holiness of God. That he is completely unapproachable if there's any sin in my presence. Unless that sin is paid for, unless it's cleansed. And now, because of what Jesus Christ has done, because he has a heart of compassion, I can know God. I can know God. And I can know that all of my sin is forgiven. And I can know that I am his forever. He is the bridegroom. We are the bride. And there's more of that to come here in a minute. But some of us, I was thinking about this. Some of us, when we were kids, you remember, you know, like your parents, maybe your parents had this ability, like if you got in trouble, you know, you did something wrong, they gave you the look, right? You know I'm talking about? How many of your parents ever could just give you the look and you just knew, right, that, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. You know, they didn't have to say anything. And without even realizing it, as my kids get older, I've realized that I have the power of the look. I didn't know I had it until one day, you know, one of my children did something wrong and I was frustrated and I was angry with her and I just looked at her and all of a sudden I could see the tears just welling up in her eyes and I thought, oh my goodness, I couldn't believe it, you know? And the fear of parental judgment overcomes them. Now look, because of Jesus Christ, God is never going to give us the look. The Bible says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This is the beauty of the gospel. Everything that I have ever done wrong, every sin from the time that I was born and to the day that I will die is completely covered by Jesus' blood. This is God's love. This is God's compassion for you. When we are ugly in our sin and he is completely holy, he still reaches out through the cross, through Jesus Christ, through his son to love you, to touch you, to grab you. The gospel is God's heart of compassion for you because sin kills. Sin destroys. And Jesus says, I have come that you may have life and you may have it to the fullest. This is what God has for us. This is what God invites us into. And I just ask you this morning, is your heart so drawn to worshiping God this morning today because of his compassion towards you? Remember his compassion. This whole scene between the Jesus and this leper is highly provocative, and it's highly offensive. This man has no right within the Jewish law to even be near Jesus Christ and to ask him to be clean. And Jesus' touch to him is just as highly offensive, in a sense, because in the eyes of the people, this would have made Jesus unclean as a rabbi to do this. Understand what's going on here. And yet he says, I am willing. God says, hallelujah, I am willing. Be clean. Do you see it? This is us. This is the compassion that God has on us. And I just ask you this morning, are you thankful for God's compassion towards you today? Because we can read this story and we can see that we are that leper. You know, this word compassion, it's interesting. It's like in the original language, it means that it comes from deep within the gut, like within the bowels. You know, some of you, like when you had that feeling inside of you, you know what I'm talking about, and you're just like, oh, you know, you don't feel good, and something's going on down there, and it's just like, you know, that deep pain. And that's where this comes from, this compassion that God has. It's like a deep inner pain inside of him for the brokenness that we have in our fallen humanity. And so, Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that because in Christ we are made new. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We are perfectly loved. We are perfectly received because of Jesus. Jesus Christ fulfills it all. And so in the story, what happens then is that Jesus then says, okay, now you need to go see the priest because the priest needs to verify that this man was cleansed. And once that's done, then he could be restored back to his worshiping community and with his friends and his family and his relationship with God again. So you look at verse 45, instead he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stay outside in lonely places, yet the people still came to him from everywhere. It's an interesting part of the story. You know, sometimes you read the Bible and you think, why is this in here? You know? Like, it's just like, why do they bother to record something like that? Jesus' reason for this was because his mission, he said it earlier, was he came to preach the gospel. That's why Jesus came. He came to preach the gospel, and he knew that if he drew on too much fame too early on, that it would create all these crowds, and it would prohibit him from preaching the gospel to those who needed to hear it. And Mark says, that's what happened. That's what happened. Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but it says he stayed outside in lonely places. And this is important because even the people were tracking him down, but it says he stayed out. Again, I just want to say it again. He stayed out of town in lonely places. Please look at the screen. J.R. Edwards writes in his commentary, and he has good insight on this, and I just wanted to share it with you, if we can throw that up. Mark began this story with Jesus on the inside and the leper on the outside. At the end of the story, Jesus is outside in lonely places. Jesus and the leper have traded places. Early in his ministry, Jesus is already an outsider in human society. Mark casts him in the role of the servant of the Lord who bears the iniquities of others, and whose bearing of them causes him to be numbered with the transgressors. So Jesus, in a sense, we see a picture here of Jesus serving us by trading places with us. He's willing to give up so that we could experience the compassion of his forgiveness. And the question as we sit here this morning is, okay, so how should that impact my life? How should this story today impact my life of something that happened so many years ago? Well, first, I just think it really ought to get us thinking about what God has done for us. We really ought to leave here today just again saying, God, I didn't deserve your compassion. I didn't deserve you to touch my life through the cross. And when I understand that, it wells up within me a real desire to love God and to worship him for what he has done. And so to love God means that I want to be obedient to him. It means that I look at God and say, God, I didn't deserve your love. God, you are so holy and so incredible. And God, I know that I'm a sinner. And yet you did this for me. And so, God, you are worthy. God, you didn't have to do this for me. You could have let me die and pay the price that I'm supposed to pay for my sin, but you didn't do that. And you are a holy God. And here, you have cleansed me, Lord. Wow. I want to serve you, God. You gave me my very life. Amen. You gave me my life, Lord. I don't deserve this. So, God, I want to worship you. God, I want to know you. God, I want to obey you. God, anything that you ask me to do, I'll do it. Secondly, I think it really ought to cause us for our hearts to be filled with compassion towards other people like Jesus Christ. That our hearts would be filled with compassion for other people, because this is what Jesus did. And if our lives as Christians are going to be shaped by the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we need to be a people who are defined by love, right? We need to be a people who are defined by love. Every day our lives are filled with people around us who need compassion. I mean, let's get real. I mean, how quick are we sometimes to judge people? How quick are we to judge people based on because they look different than us, or what they wear, or the color of their skin, the language that they use, the tattoos that they have, the jewelry that they wear, maybe because of the poor decisions that they have made, maybe just because of the wrong that they have done? How quick are we to not offer compassion and grace to other people because we're too busy, we're too wrapped up in our own lives, and we don't have time for other people? Our God is defined by a heart of compassion. And he's defined by a heart of compassion. What about us? You know, what kind of people are we going to be? What kind of church are we going to be? How do we want to be known as God's people for us? You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world that he gave his son in compassion for us. He gave his son. So if we're honest and we look at the text this morning and we put ourselves there and we allow God to speak to us, we ask the question, what compassion is there in my heart today for people? What compassion is there in my heart today for people? Is there any kind of prejudice? Is there any kind of hatred? Is there just annoyance? Is there a spirit of pride? If so, we need to repent of that. We do. We would need to repent of that. We would need to ask God to fill us with his love, because we cannot be all that God has called us to be as the church in this world if we do not have a compassion and a heart for other people. That is who God is calling us to be, that the world, when they look at us, they will see grace, that they will see compassion. Jesus said in the second part of his greatest commandment, he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, who's my neighbor? My neighbor is everybody. You know, so I just ask us in closing, I wrestle with this. And as a church and as individuals, you know, isn't it time? It's time for us, you know, to renew our hearts. To say, God, we want to be that city on a hill that you have called us to be. God, renew us once again as believers. That we will be known for our compassion, that we will proclaim the hope of God in the world, the hope through Jesus Christ. Look with me at Revelation. Please turn there to chapter 19. I want you to see this just as a reminder. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 and 8. Someday in the future, when we are with the Lord in heaven, Scripture says this, Revelation 19, verse 7 and 8. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and what?
Clean.
Was given her to wear. The fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. I mean, come on, church, this all gets excited. There's a day coming when we are going to sit at the banquet of God. We're going to be there. And there are people today in our community that we know, people that we rub shoulders with every day, who are sitting right now at a banquet of death. And God is calling us to have a heart of compassion. God is calling us to have a heart to pray. Because when he looked at this leper, he said, I am willing. This compassion that came from deep within our God. To say, I care about you and I love you. And that's what we need, isn't it? We need God to renew that in us. And so, I'm going to ask the ushers at this point if they could kind of just grab. When you came in today in the bulletin, there was something new. There was a card in there. And at this point in the service, we just want to, we're finishing up our message, our sermon series, being called to a mission. And there's been a lot of things that God has challenged us with, Lord willing, over the last couple of weeks. And we want to take an opportunity as a church to allow us to respond to that. In this card, it's a connection. It has two purposes, really. One, it's a connection card. And so if you don't have one of these this morning, if you happen to kind of come through another door or you didn't get a bulletin, the guys are in the back. If you could just kind of slip up your hand, because we want to make sure you have one. We just need everybody to have one. So just hold your hand up. The guys are going to come around and make sure you have one. The purpose is twofold. We do want to ask you to kind of fill it out so that we know that you were here this morning in that sense. That you, everybody, please, just on the front. If you're a regular attender, you remember, you don't have to put all the information on there. Just jot your name and things like that. If you're a guest, please go ahead and fill it all out. But on the back of the card, okay, on the back of the card is a response for us as God's people to say, okay, all right, so God, what is it that you've been doing in my heart the last couple of weeks? And how is it that you want me to respond? And so as we sing our last song here in a little bit, we just want to encourage you to prayerfully consider and say, God, how is it you want me to respond? Maybe there's something on there that you would check. Maybe there's a spot for other. Maybe you just want to jot some things in. And later on, when the offering plate comes by, as an act of worship, I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you to put that in the offering plate, okay? And our elders and our pastoral staff, we're going to commit to be praying for you in these things, okay? And we want to see now and in the days ahead what God is doing in us, because we want to celebrate these things. And down the road, one of our goals as a church is we want to build a prayer team. That we're gonna have a group of people that are gonna be praying for prayer requests that are gonna be, you know, on these connection cards now and in the days ahead. You might get a phone call from somebody and say, hey, I saw that you wrote this down. I want to pray with you right now on the phone. You know, maybe if you've got this person you've asked me to pray for, God, we want to be praying for them. Is it okay if we call them and pray for them over the phone? Okay? So God has challenged us. I trust that He has, and I trust that God's doing something in your heart today, because God is not done with us yet. God is not done. We talked about this morning in Kirk's Sunday school class in the book of Acts. Remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira? Remember that they lied to the Holy Spirit and God just killed them on the spot? Remember that? It was a quick reminder that every breath that I have is a gift from God. The fact that we're even here today and standing is a gift of God, which means that God is not done with us yet. He's got things that He wants us to do for the kingdom. And so I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to just pray with me, and the worship team come back up and prepare us to lead us. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for giving us this story in the scriptures. Jesus, thank you for showing us your heart of compassion for us. And we pray, Lord, that in this moment right now would be a time for us to respond with a heart of worship. Lord, that you're doing a work in our hearts, and you would nudge us and you would call us in certain ways. And so, Lord, we want to respond to that. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.